Today we turn to 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, to chapter 5. Hearing the words that Paul writes to the church and by the gift of the Spirit to us. As we prepare to hear words of Scripture, let us ask for God's help. Let us pray. Speak again, O God, through these ancient words of your servant Paul, that they may become the Word made flesh and fresh among us, and that by obeying your Word and following your way, we may be your Word for the world, the body of Christ, given for the world. Amen. Paul writes this, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture. Thanks be to God. Over the last few weeks, maybe even months, I'll be honest with you, I have been feeling rather down. Honestly, a bit overwhelmed. I watch the same news that you watch. I listen to it on the radio as I drive my car. And I just don't quite understand what in the world is going on. And you guys know, you've known me long enough now, you know that I believe in the power of prayer. I pray a lot. And lately I have been praying for peace. I've been praying psalms of lament, crying out to God, asking, "How long, O Lord, does this have to go on, that we have to kill each other?" I've been praying that the Prince of Peace would come and reign in our world. I've been praying for peace. But it has become clear to me that praying for peace is not enough anymore. That I need to do, as my grandfather used to say, I need to put some feet on my prayers. He always believed, yes, faith can move mountains, but sometimes you have to bring a shovel. I believe that prayer is powerful and effective, and we should pray for peace, but sometimes we need to be the peace. That we need to embody in our physical lives the very peace of Christ. Today in our scripture reading, Paul is writing to a church that's conflicted, a church that's fighting, a church that's divided, and he reminds them that God is about the work of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to Himself. That's the whole point of Jesus. That God could no longer wait. That God could no longer stand back and watch the mess taking a place among God's people on earth. That the time was right. God could wait no longer. So God sent His Son into the world to reconcile, to make things right again. That God was the one who took action. That God stepped out to reconcile the world to Himself. That's good news, my friends. That's the news we proclaim every Sunday morning just following the prayer confession. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. It's my favorite part of the worship service, to be truthful. And I love it when we have a student liturgist who stands there because I need to hear it just as much as anybody else. Chris, God still loves you and God forgives you no matter what. God takes action and reaches out to embrace and accept us. But it's the second part of what Paul has to say to the church that's so doggone hard. Paul reminds us that not only is God acting to change things, to bring us back into relationship with Himself, that God now has given that same ministry to us. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's hard. That no longer is God a sole actor in this thing, but God has invited us to be partners in this ministry. And so that means we have two things we must do. One, we must share that good news. That God is still bringing, working to bring others and all of us back into a loving relationship with God. That's the whole Jesus thing. God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn it, but through His Son to save it. That's John 3:17. That's the good news that we, the church, must proclaim. But here's the second half of reconciliation. If God has given us that ministry, if it's now partly on our shoulders, a responsibility that we care, then we must be reconciled one to another. That's the part I don't like so much. That's the hard work part. Oh, I love basking in the love of God. I tell you, I will take forgiveness all day long. Stand at that lectern and tell me, Chris, you are forgiven no matter what. But don't turn to the next chapter. Don't read that next verse that says that, Chris, you now have to forgive somebody. You have to let go of that grudge. You have to reach out and do the act of forgiving, and not just forgiving, but moving to rebuild a broken relationship. Really, I'd rather not. I'd rather stand on this side and glow in God's forgiveness and let that person just wave in the wind. But you see, reconciliation requires two things: the willingness to forgive and a commitment to move forward in restoring broken relationships. Reconciliation. It's the good news of the gospel that our world needs to hear. For what I hear in the news reportings is about shootings and bombings, and those are all just code words for revenge. Reconciliation is the opposite of revenge. For you see, as I listen to the news, as I hear these reports, as I hear the voices cry out in anger, I see that revenge leads not to peace. Revenge doesn't even lead to some perverted form of justice. Revenge leads only to rage. A rage that escalates the anger and the hatred and leads to more violence. We need some reconciliation. We need to reach out with the willingness to forgive, to take responsibility for our part in it. A little humility, a little empathy, to listen to the other voice, and to make no excuses for the ways in which we hurt others. Coming back from middle school, Montreat, and I hear the high schoolers had a similar experience, we talked about some really difficult things. I remember one night in worship, there were images from recent news projected on the screen, and they were hard to see. Protest lines. People weeping over those who had been killed, both black and white. We've got a mess, folks. And it seems to me that reconciliation is the only way forward. It is the very work of God that God is doing toward us and toward our world. And the hard news is, it is also the very ministry that God has put into our hands. It's not just God's job anymore. It's our job too. And here's the thing. We've watched our political parties in this nation debate and discuss and cheerlead and rally. But they can't do it. They have proved in recent weeks that they're not able to. The church must. It is the ministry of God to the world. It is now the ministry of the church to continue. But here's the good news. Not only is it a ministry we must do, but by the grace of God, by the power of the Spirit, through the saving work of Jesus Christ, we, the church, can do it. When we worshiped together in Montreat, there was this moment in worship when we were invited to stand and to say a phrase to one another. the peace of Christ be with you. And the appropriate response was, and also with you, not just to the preacher behind the pulpit, but to one another. As you greeted one another with the peace of Christ be with you, the response was, and also with you. To that kid that drove me crazy every day of the week, yes, the peace of Christ be with you. To the one who stands on a different position than I do about an issue, the peace of Christ be with you. To the one I fought with, and I still am not comfortable with, yes, even to you, the peace of Christ be with you. A lot of churches just make it a time for greeting one another. We do that in a different place. But if we were to add that passing of the peace, it's not a greeting. It's not a, hey, how are you? It is theological hard work. It is standing and saying to your neighbor, peace, God's peace, be with you. That's my prayer. And you know I believe in the power of prayer. I pray a lot. Lately I've been praying for peace. I've been praying that the Prince of Peace will come and reign in our world. But I'm convinced now that prayer isn't enough. That I, indeed we, the church, must be peace. We are the peace of Christ to the world. How will you spread that peace? How will you extend your hand reaching across the divide to proclaim good news? Peace be with you, and also with you, to the glory of God. Amen.